Chairman Brad Holton, we've had a brief recess to sign a final plat. With that, let's get back to our agenda item for this morning, and it'll be under just general DSD business. So with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. What I'd like to do today is give you an update on, we went to public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission the 27th, last Thursday, correct? The 20th. And so I thought we'd give you an update. I brought Josh along because I was on vacation that week. I hear it was fun and games. My vacation was fun and games, but I hear the public hearing was fun and games as well. A lot of folks showed up and testified.
Yeah, we aren't done with public testimony. That needs to continue November 5th. Overwhelmingly opposition on the amendment. Some of the opposition, you know, I think there's something where we need to add a sentence to clarify an issue in the ordinance. Then there's some of it where I think an ag-only lot in the overall ag zone are not entirely understood, so we need to clarify that in rebuttal. But it looks like the Planning Commission is leaning towards doing a workshop for DSD and the public and members of the Planning Commission to talk through the ordinance changes proposed. So that, since that is not till November 5th, the end of the public testimony and such in the rebuttal, and that now we're talking about at least one workshop that may not get to the board till next year. So.
Yes.
Josh, thanks. I went back and I looked at what planning and zoning, the documents that were attached to their calendar for that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of work that's been put into, and I have a pretty big document. Like, is there, help me understand, and I'm sorry that I'm having to ask an ignorant question. Was there a particular focus that was really driving the testimony?
Let me get my notes out.
Okay. Because I'm interested if there was respect, if people really understood what was being presented for discussion at this hearing. It looks like there was, because the photographs show it, our staff has been involved at some level in interfacing with the public, trying to educate them that these changes are coming and what that looks like. So help me understand, walk me through what that process looks like. We've been talking about cleaning up our code for a long time, and I think it's needed. There's ambiguity in there, and there's some definitions from the comp plan that are a go-nowhere because they don't have teeth. There's caveats in there that allow, I'm not sure that that's the direction that the county is going for planning. Jay, it looks like you have something to say.
So, Commissioner Van Beek, Mr. Chairman, the overall purpose of the amendment is to establish more consistency in these decisions because, frankly, over the years, they've been everywhere. And so I believe there's a lot of misinformation out there. There are other people who have narratives that we're taking entitlements away or whatever. We're not. We're trying to clean up the code so that we can be more consistent and so that it's clear. There were items that come up that never had definitions. We're adding some definitions that you know, set the sideboards for admin divisions.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I don't think a lot of people want to understand what we're really trying to do. It's a cleanup more so than anything else.
Yeah. And Chairman, I just want to say from some of the feedback that I heard, which was interesting, I'll tackle that one. It demonstrates a level, and I'm saying this respectfully, of ignorance, to say that one commissioner is driving change like this is not true. They need to go back and read the Idaho State Statute. It is one commissioner doesn't have. I appreciate that commissioner. That comment was directed towards me, but a single commissioner doesn't have that kind of power to do that. These are changes and discussion points, as you've indicated, that are for the benefit of providing greater transparency for people wanting to come in and use the code, the county code. So I guess I'm a little bit blown away
We kind of knew what we were getting into when we started this whole process, and we've been at it for most of a year, you know, trying to come up with the language that's clear, consistent, and ties back to other pieces of code that, you know, are not in conflict. And we knew going into it when we set the public hearing that it's all about the public process. We need the public to have a chance to give us their 2 cents or 3 minutes worth or what have you. And we've got a lot of comments. We did go to the public. We had previously had a workshop with the public to introduce this project. Got some valuable input there. It doesn't surprise me that a lot of people showed up because that's typical of our hearing process. And so we knew going into it that once we opened that door and we went to P&Z, that's what needed to happen. And we're just continuing the public process.
And Chairman, to your point, Director Gibbons, we heard in a hearing last week, and I did not rebut that comment because there was a lot of information that was there that we were trying to catch, but to say that we're taking away administrative splits, that is simply not true. And so people get spun up, and then they incite other people, and I think I would like to hear what Josh has to say, because there's agreement that a ongoing public outreach and process has been taking place. And so if people are not paying attention or not aware, that's not because of a lack of effort on the part of development services. And then we have such a good team. I inherently am going to not appreciate people that come in attacking, name calling, operating from an uninformed base that disrespects the team that we have in place.
It's planning.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you right, you'd like to hear my summary of the public testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Removing non-viable was brought up as a negative. Basically, there was a lot of the opposition testimony to the amendment was about that. We increased the size of the ag-only lot. We are suggesting 40 acres. That was not met with approval by the folks that showed up to testify.
And Josh, Chairman, would it be okay if I provide those ag-only parcels are really meaningful or meaningless in terms of preserving ag, because an applicant can turn right back around and go and apply to divide those again. So I think, to the point that the director's making, we have to have sideboards that help define what it is that we're trying to do in long-range planning. So thanks, Josh. Sorry.
Okay. Sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm curious why removing non-viable was seen as a negative.
Because, quite frankly, it allows for extra splits.
Right.
It allows for what?
Extra splits right now.
It's a bonus. When you're out of your normal splits, I can then take a piece of land that I can't water, basically, and get another split on top of it.
I'll also say that the point was brought up that, so DSD's main reason for getting rid of it is it's too ambiguous. And that was met with that nobody at DSD knows anything about farming, and that we shouldn't be making that decision anyway, and we just need to trust the landowner. So I think behind that testimony is, when a farmer comes in and says this is non-viable, just believe that and approve the splits, was the concept, or do form some sort of a committee or board that looks at those.
So if we remove non-viable, what's the process then to get a split on that piece of property?
It's that table that you've seen in the ordinance. You have an original that's this much acreage, you get this many lots.
Mm-hmm.
That was the concept, is we just stick to that core table right now.
And Chairman, sorry, Josh, but I think you should cite that you did go for outside information on the non-viables, and an agricultural person said that's really a subjective, hard to measure non-viable really doesn't mean anything except that it's a way for people to create more unplatted lots in a and concentrate those in an area.
That is what we heard from the U of I extension. And so there's either, if we leave it in the ordinance, I think that's kind of a, we're at a fork in the road. Do we create a committee that looks at those, or perhaps it's the APA group, or we put so many criteria in it that there's more there to look at. And there was suggested if we do add it back in, here's the language with the package that the Planning Commission received. There was an overall feeling that we're creating more red tape and bureaucracy with suggested changes to the ordinance. There was opposition to noticing neighbors with the lot splits.
Are you kidding me?
Wait.
He's writing it down.
Okay.
No, why was there opposition to letting the neighbors know?
I think the concept there might have been, well, how are they going to oppose it? What does that add to the process? And I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I wrote down bullet points after everybody testified. We tried to clarify what a buildable parcel is, and we wrote down with more detail what is looked at in the zoning compliance part of the building permit process. And this is where I think staff made an error that I'll admit to. And that's my responsibility. When we're talking about you need potable water and sewage, it wasn't meant to say that also applies to an ag building that's supposed to be a dry building. That's for an inhabited structure like a residence. And that needs to be clarified in the proposed code, but we'll cover that when we get a chance for rebuttal, but we haven't got that yet, so. Because we restricted an ag-only parcel that's a remainder, there's a difference between a parcel that's, I'm kind of saying this for those that are listening, an ag-only parcel that's a remainder parcel from a split and just any parcel that's zoned ag. What staff did is said, if you have the first example, it's a remainder from a split. We wanted to clarify that that is not meant for residential development. That is meant for agricultural only development. And so we added some restricted uses through noting stuff in the zoning matrix. And I think that caused confusion that we were locking down agriculture itself so tight that it would not allow for farming. And there was a lot of folks upset on that. And that was, we could have clarified that, I think, a little better in our presentation. But I think it's an education piece that needs to occur.
Right. And Chairman, can I think it's important that we state that those remaining parcels after a split are voluntary on the part of the applicant. And so for people to get upset, the applicant is agreeing to lock that down. So that's again, misinformation about how the process works.
That's a misnomer.
It is, Chairman. I agree with you, because there's nothing locked down about
it. There's nothing locked down about it.
Correct.
This commissioner has seen multiples of those come through.
Right.
A lot of language around the idea that this is the largest takings in Idaho state history.
Oh, good grief.
A general theme of government overreach. Impacts on financials of farms. I think there's some opposition to us requiring an irrigation plan, because we're asking for an irrigation plan when irrigation crosses over multiple parcels. We want to make sure that there's protections in place, that that doesn't go away. We're suggesting it's the equivalent to a RUMA with a private road, but for irrigation.
So what was the specificity behind not wanting to provide an irrigation plan?
I'll be plain, it's not clear from my notes.
Okay.
I think it's maybe just adding cost to the process.
But Chairman, can I say, and somebody jump in, that's state law or federal law that requires that we don't interrupt delivery and ingress egress of water flow. That's not even controlled at the county level. There's a whole section in Idaho code about irrigation. Chairman, jump in because you're more versed than I am.
Well, I wasn't there. I haven't heard the actual testimony. But if they think that land division happens as an island unto itself, that's childish. So this commissioner is very concerned about a land division that relies on water delivery through other parcels to get to it and not figure a plan out for that. I'm not interested in doing that, because that's just, here's the statement, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. And if I know I'm setting up a neighborhood to fight, I want no part of it, even if it's the person's ability to divide off the property. A road user's agreement, if there's more than one person, a water user's agreement. Just yesterday, there were two lots, legal proposed lots, on a shared well. This is as simple as it gets. I was not about to approve that unless there is a water user's agreement between the two legal parcels on one well. That is no different on surface water.
And I will say, I think that's why members of staff thought that would be a good add to administrative land divisions, because my understanding is when subdivisions come to the board, we're commonly saying there needs to be a water user's agreement. So these are smaller scale subdivisions, if you will. So that was part of our justification. Part of the concern was, and all these are legitimate concerns, but we're wanting to preserve the option for farmers that are retiring so they can age in place, if you will, and keep their house, but divide off from the overall property that's being farmed. And that's the end of my notes. And the audio to this is available right now. It should be online, but
I started listening to it.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, that's pretty much the detail I've got. So some things can be cleared up, and some of the ire, I think, is inherent. What I will say, 162 pages of the packet are a lot of the ordinance where we're clearing up parcel and lot so that they're used consistently throughout the ordinance.
Chairman, I appreciate the work that DSD has done on this. We've been through code many times and state on the record that there has to be clarification. And some of this, I guess, remnants or leftovers from the comprehensive plan where the definitions are either completely missing or insufficient to define a definition or a label, it's creating problems. And I have been consistent. I do not want to be a part of long-range planning, which is stewardship of the land and the citizens that we serve. It should, we employ really good people that have master's degrees in planning. They understand what this process is. And I am fatigued by a good old boy network that incites a mob mentality from people who do not read or understand the code and then want the board to take a backseat position, which to me does not discharge their statutory duties under the law. I am so tired of that.
So one more point that was brought up, that if you'll permit me, there was testimony that you guys just want to control everything. I think that was directed at DSD. And then that, yes, the board asked for clarity, but we added a bunch of stuff to this, like we're pulling a fast one. And I would strongly argue against that point, because I think we have brought you guys along in this process.
That is true.
We've sent you the whole thing before we scheduled the Planning Commission hearing. So,
Chairman, can I ask a question? Josh, did you think that our commissioners had a good understanding of the changes and what was the posture in the audience or, you know, in that room from, I guess?
So we sent the commissioners the ordinance right after we noticed that same big list we got from the survey, and they had had it for 3 weeks. One of them did say we've only had this for 3 weeks, so I think maybe they consumed the information, but they would have liked more time to have it. So.
And well, they got it now. Since it's been tabled for more testimony to the 5th of November, and that's all fine. Any proposed ordinance, there's room for improvement typically. So there may be pieces that we need to clear, and we recognize already that there are a couple places that need to be updated, and that's part of the public process. That's why we go through it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Chairman, I have a question for either the director or the assistant director. You have preliminary hearing materials table of contents. So you have A through G on there. Do you have them listed in order of priority or they... No, okay. And it is a lot of information. I printed it out so that we could have a good discussion on this, but is there benefit to chunking any of that in a prioritized order or no?
It's a wholesale change that clarifies code so it's consistent.
Okay.
And I'm so sorry that the public's unable to grasp it in 3 weeks, and I'm very thankful that we have it extended out to November. I heard a comment this morning unrelated to all of this. If the law is doing its job, there's no emergency. There is no emergency in this. There's no cramming down somebody's throat. There's no fast one. There's 162 pages, clear as can be, and there's obviously, we're not perfect, so there's already a couple changes that need even further clarification that we didn't see. The public is invited to come in and give their opinions. I would say that mob mentality type of attacks for this commissioner is really unfruitful. I can see that and look past that. Trying to look at what is the question behind the question rather than the mob mentality, accusatory type of thing. That's I get why people get that way. But I guess I would challenge these individuals to stop taking what they've been told and look into it for themselves, for their own property, and what does it mean. And if you can't understand that, perhaps get somebody's help who's not financially benefited by a property division. And so... I'm just trying to say this carefully because there's a lot of emotion. I'm not in the business to take away some farmer's right to divide his property. With that said, I do have to acknowledge to the public that it bothers me greatly about what is viable agriculture. So if your agricultural operation absolutely demands the availability to sell off lots off of your ground to exist, then I would respectfully submit that you are a developer foundationally and a farmer secondarily if it requires that for your operation to continue forward. That's a judgment call on my part. But if you're farming and you have great ground, there is no ground that's for sale. But if you're farming and you have marginal ground that really isn't producing and it's causing more expense than it is making you a profit, I get, fully understand the division of the property and selling it off. But I'm a little bit concerned about prime farm ground being divided off just so I can exist to farm another day. It's your right. There is no doubt that it is your property right, but please stop selling it as a agricultural operation.
And Chairman, I think those are really good comments. And as a person that's in agriculture generationally, here's what I can say. Some of this, to me, is I want my cake, but I want to, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So to say you have a large-scale diversified ag operation and you're going to populate even on dry corners with houses, those houses, there's nothing that binds people to that ground. They don't have to have family that continues to live there. So when we do that, when there's need for a fly-on, when you have chemigation, when you have any of that that happens, when you bail at 2 o'clock in the morning and you have a change in ownership, you are effectively stifling the ability of agriculture to operate at its fullest potential because they're so heavily regulated by Idaho law. And so to me, I understand why a farmer might stage his operation to sell less productive ground if he's in the markets are very volatile. But I think we're at a crossroads of deciding we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. Do you want a 1031 ground and go farther out? That's a different conversation than saying, I have ground and I want to stick my family in and use as much mini splits as I want. It's mine. Can't tell me what to do. Back up. Okay. So again, balancing personal property rights with really what are the interests of the community, I think we're still not on the same page with that. And trying to get there is important. There's a lot of ag ground that's being consumed by cities. We've said this ad nauseum. But there's also ground in the county where farmers are complaining on one hand about being squeezed by the urban sprawl and then wanting to develop parts of their ground for whatever reason. That's not my stuff. But the two are in conflict, in my humble opinion.
So, I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
No, you're good, Chairman.
Okay. So for the public record, the county's population's observation of growth, many do not understand that, and I'm going to use a percentage, and it's within 1 to 1.5%. 97% of this is within the municipality. Get this through your vision. Get it through your intellect. So we're talking about 3.5% of the total growth in the county happening out in the county that is in the control of the county commissioners. Get that. The city's desire to grow as fast as they possibly can is consuming farm ground, prime farm ground, at a rate that's unsustainable. The county's growth into the ag ground, for the most part at this stage, is sustainable because the lion's share is on marginal or unproductive farm ground. So the big thing to me that I'm so interested in what the public has to say really is about the parcel and how we look at that when it was what it existed as in 79. And here's the reality. To some extent, anybody, whether qualified or unqualified, can write a deed and has in the past. The Idaho legislature has closed that up significantly since 79. So we have deeds that have very interesting definitions of what the parcel's boundaries are and how you describe that. And we are attempting to be as fair as we can about that. But at some point, we need an ordinance that clearly defines what a parcel is and what it isn't. And we're kind of in the middle of that right now. So I am interested what the public has to say about that. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. There has to be a defining line, and it'll be interesting where we land with that. But, you know, where's growing together? They come and they have their people organized about, oh, we can't consider this parcel because it's active agriculture. Well, good grief. If you're talking what I understand happened Thursday night was not necessarily the right to farm, it was the right to subdivide. So this is my opinion. I have not listened to the audio record, but I've had some emails as a result of Thursday night. I don't think we have this fully vetted. I think it needs some more public time. I'm not opposed to the workshops. I wish it would be done, but it's not. And I'm willing to wait. I feel bad about Commissioner Van Beek because she may not end up being able to vote on the proposed changes. And she's gotten to live with the shortcoming of the ordinance the way it is, and it would have been nice for her to be able to be a part of whatever this is going to end up. Because, A, I'm not shoving anything down anybody's throat. That's why you have public hearings on it. And so staff is probably going to moderate some of the issues of the, I shouldn't say issues, some of the specificity of the proposed ordinance off of what you've already given as public input. So, but again, my only, Commissioner Brooks and I sat through a proposal on Sunny Slope, and that group who opposed was so well organized and very factual. I'm not interested about emotion, not interested about your kiddos. I have to look at the land blind. I get it that you have family and you need to divide it off. I get all of that. But does that mean your family gets to do this and that family over there doesn't get to do that? I have to look at the land blind and take out the emotion and try to be as fair as I can across all groups. Right now, this whole thing is specifically focused on ag, and it is a bigger topic than just ag. So I hope we have people who are not intimidated that can come in and at least share their points of view in addition to what we've already got to hear.
Yeah, great comments, Chairman. I'm going to jump on your train. Thank you. I do have a lot invested in this. I was hopeful that more policy could have gotten established, but, you know, there's a right time for everything. Here's what I'll say that is just different than what you've said, but we're on the same theme. We need to have people that can attack issues and not people. There was comments made that this plan was garbage, or there were people that were directed, I guess, in a bullying or intimidating way towards staff. I don't think that's appropriate. I think we need a moderator in there that says, if you do that, you will be invited to step outside. I wouldn't tolerate that personally, because if people wonder why government is slow, it's because we have to work through so much misinformation. And to your point, so much misplaced emotion. Let's figure out what the pros and the cons in it are. You can argue all day with an emotional person. If you start getting down to questions that are valid with some factual input and then allow our staff to rebut with what they have, I just, so much respect for our team and being able to hold that together under difficult testimony that's unmerited with their attacks. I just don't, as a leader, That's what sets people apart. Don't come in and attack our staff. That's wrong. Attack the issue and make your presentation and make sure that you're factual with what you're attacking.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I will note that with this application being the next hearing before P&Z will be the 5th of November, we did extend the materials deadline to 10 days before. So we are still open to taking comment and input. So
good. That's very valuable to have that information in. And I would encourage
record when it comes to you.
Good. And I would have just what the director said. It is intimidating to walk into a room and you might feel that you're the minority in the room. So to submit your concerns in writing to DSD 10 days before, at least 10 days before the November 5th hearing, your point, your concern gets documented just like it gets documented if you were standing up behind the microphone. So I'd strongly encourage those who are concerned to take advantage of that.
And Mr. Chairman, that's what we wanted to update you on today.
Okay. So. I have a procedure question. Would it be helpful or would it be confusing to have a draft of what you've heard and enumerate what changes you would maybe be proposing after the final public hearing for this or workshop? I don't know. Is that helpful or is it confusing?
You mean what we realized the mistakes we made?
Yes.
I would propose we do that during rebuttal and through the workshops for that clarification.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Comments?
Chairman, I guess I do have a comment. The land use matrix has been included in this under Exhibit G. Mm-hmm. And so maybe on the next time before that November 5th hearing to have your perspective on what changed in there. I don't have highlighted changes in that. I believe that it needed to be looked at again on there. And then I'm hopeful too that with county code, we're looking with, there's a need for raw materials in the valley, but to look at lengths of conditional uses on grounds and where we're placing residential in next to potential gravel pits, to look at what some of that looks like just for long term. I had heard that that could use a little brushing up potentially too, and so
yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, no, I know there's a lot of those balls of wax. So
that there will be further updates to the land use matrix when we go to implement the updated comp plan as well.
Okay,
great. And further changes. These are the changes at the moment are respective of the admin division processes.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. And I'm not suggesting that you veer off the course that you're set. I just had to ask a question on where those fall in that. So good job. I think it's been a great effort by DSD, and we have to jump in somewhere.
It takes a team.
It takes a team. That's right. And we prefer that the public is part of the teamwork process.
Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else?
I don't think so, Chairman.
All right. Well, be sure that the social media staff, as well as the PIO, lets the public know that this has been continued, and we're really encouraging more input.
Yep. And, Chairman, I would submit that if we give that to our director, that he highlights, as the director and assistant director have, what specificity this is on administrative divisions. This is not removing them. You know, something simple bulleted on what it is and what it isn't. That
well, and as simple as saying, hey, you know, members of the public, you got questions of the real intent of this, give us a call.
Yeah.
Happy to talk to you.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. If there isn't anything else, I would make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.